Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word, a word that continues to grow in and through us. Amen. I have to admit, while she's getting this up, I hate being the center of attention, so today, coming in and seeing my face on the bulletin was like it was not an easy thing, but as the kids told me, you only have to do it for one day, so. But I have to say thank you before I start for everything this past year. I cannot say thank you enough for this wonderful congregation and the support I've gotten, especially from the kids and from everybody, so even though sometimes they drive me crazy. But no, they're a great group of kids, and so I'm so happy for everything that everybody has done for me, so thank you. Oh, it's okay, you're fine. June 15th, 1994. Most of these kids weren't even born. I was only five. I would turn five soon. This date was the date that The Lion King opened in theaters. One of my favorite movies. This is the first movie I ever remember seeing as a child. And I've seen it over 100 times when I was a little kid. This was before DVDs, you know, the good old VHS tapes. So me and my sister watched it so many times, you know, rewinding it in the machine, that it broke. I love this movie so much. And one of the scenes from this movie, you know, my earliest memories, is the tree from the movie. The tree that the baboon priest-like, you know, animal lives in. And for me, this was like this giant tree that was this, you know, image of strength. And it also, for some odd reason, reminded me of a thing of broccoli. I don't know why. but it was this tree that, like, stood out in my mind as an image of this powerful kind of thing. And it got me thinking about the mustard bush, right? Why did Jesus choose a mustard bush? You know, we've heard this over and over again. Why would you choose something like that? It is not a typical analogy that Scripture uses to describe, you know, something that's great. Often the reference is a cedar tree in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. We have in Daniel talks about the cedar tree of the Assyrians, and he says it was a big towering tree at the center of the world. As I watched the tree grow huge and strong, its top reached the sky, and it could be seen from the corners of the earth. It was beautiful, its fruit abundant, good for everyone. While animals found shelter under it, everything living was fed and sheltered by it. This is the tree we want of the image. And it's interesting because if we look at the image of a cedar tree, it kind of looks similar, doesn't it? I mean, in a way, it's this big, strong tree. And even Ezekiel talks about Israel as this tree. He says, God will take a great sprig from the cedar tree and set it out and break it off and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. And on the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it in order that it might produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. A noble cedar, not a word that we use for the mustard bush. You don't hear the noble mustard bush. The mustard bush is not used in this image. And so we ask, why does Jesus choose a mustard bush? And we know, we hear the typical, you know, it spreads out. It's this great bush that becomes, you know. But I think, like, Jesus is, like, further exasperating his followers, you know. Oh, you thought you were the cedar tree, right? You thought you were the strong, giant tree. Well, sorry, you're the mustard bush. This scraggly, kind of, like, not very nice-looking thing that looks like it's half dead. It doesn't want, you know. Discuss it among yourselves, you know, why you think you're this. And it makes me a little angry. You know, why would Jesus choose? I don't want to be a mustard bush. I have enough problems. Why do I want to be something like this? And especially for the early Jewish people, you know, they didn't like this image of a mustard bush. When they had a garden, which, you know, we all do this in our gardens, you have neat rows, right? So, neat rows. So, you know, one crop goes in one section, another goes in another section, so they don't touch. Because we want it to be clean. You know, for the Jewish people, this not touching of other foods, this keeping it clean is important. And so a mustard bush, something like this, they don't plant because it overtakes everything in the garden. It messes up that order, that cleanliness. And so for Jesus to call us this, to call us something that is chaotic, to call the kingdom of God something that is unruly, Jesus is reminding us of being different again, as being a Christian, as being a follower of God, of how it is different and how it's something we don't always want to be. I do not want to be the mustard bush any more than the people in first century Palestine did. When I was in school as a kid, I was on a, well, not first name basis, but I was always in the library. So me and the librarian were like you know, pretty tight. She'd be like, "You here again?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, I'm here again." And I was probably one of the only students that got books out of the library, because most kids were like, "Where is the library?" Let alone that there were books in the library. And so I was always in there. And I loved books. I still love books to this day. And it would have been nice to have a Kindle back then, because I was carrying around, you know, these huge books with all my school books. And for me, it was almost an embarrassment because of the things I was reading, you know, Lord of the Rings, Chronicles of Narnia, Harry Potter, and I would often, like, hide them so people couldn't see them. Because I was embarrassed, not only to be reading, but to be reading things that everybody else was, really, you're reading that, you're a little bit of a nerd. And so it was being different. It was being this, you know, person that I felt like I wasn't, you know, I wanted to be the proud cedar like everybody else was, this tall, strong thing that was, you know, accepted and great and this, and not be the shabby, scraggly, you know, untidy, different mustard bush. I mean, I was the kid, I always tell the story, I was the kid that I was in English class and we were reading a book and I, of course, had read ahead and I kind of told everybody what happened. And everybody was kind of mad at me, and the teacher was kind of mad at me, and was like, "This is why we don't read ahead." And I was like, "I'm sorry." I mean, I was the kid that I was different, and I didn't fit in with everybody else. And I wanted to be the tall cedar. I wanted to be that, you know, the tree that everybody kind of looks up to. And a lot of us feel that way, don't we? I mean, we want to be this proud tree, but so often we feel like the mustard bush. And no matter what Jesus says, we don't want to be that bush. We don't want to be the bush that's considered ugly and twisted and different. And we ask, why do we have to be that way? But if there's something I've learned in 27 years of life, I know for many of us that's not a long time, but for some of us it seems like an eternity. The real ministry of God happens in the places that we least expect it, in the place like a mustard bush. And I'm still not sure whether I want to be the mustard bush. I feel like life would be a lot easier if I was a tall cedar. To be the mustard bush means to live a life in contradiction to the world. We mess up those tight, needy rows when we're a mustard bush, when we change what we think the world sees as valuable. To be the mustard bush means to struggle to fit in this world, but it also means to be wealthy in love that is from Jesus. To be the mustard seed bush in our world means to be outside of society often. To be seen as some invading species that is messing up these nice, neat rows. And we also know that being the mustard bush is not always easy. Ask the first century Christians who were sent to die in arenas, killed by lions, who had their children ripped away from them, just because they dared to be different, to follow a God that was different. To follow a God that said, "I am the only God, me alone," to take and eat of his body and drink of his blood. They were different. They were considered oddballs, weirdos, messing things up. Just look at those who were killed in Orlando, Florida. I know we've been hearing a lot about this, but for me, it's an important thing. When people are targeted for, again, like the early Christians, for being who they are, for loving one another, for simply being, when they're targeted for being different, that's what it means to be the mustard bush. And we remember how hard it is to be the mustard bush. When we are reminded that being a people that seeks love instead of retribution or revenge, that is what it means to be the mustard bush. It's harder. It'd be easier to be the strong cedar tree, to have high leaves, to have shelter. But we are a people of the mustard bush, a people that must face violence and fear. And often we become bent, scraggly, because of all the pressure that is placed upon us as followers of God. And just ask any one of those survivors from Orlando or any survivors from any sort of horrific event of how fearful they are, of how fearful they are to identify as different, whether it's gay or lesbian, transgender, bisexual, or even someone that reads different kinds of books or someone that is different. Just ask them what it does to you. Ask what it's like to be the mustard bush in a world of cedars. Ask someone who is made fun of for the way they look, what they wear, or for their self-esteem, or someone that self-harms themselves. Just ask what it means to be different and to be the mustard bush in this world. Just ask those whom Jesus chose. Fishermen, tax collectors, women who had been possessed, prostitutes, people who were different, people who were the mustard bush. Just ask them what it was like to be a follower of God. But Jesus has a mind, and Jesus chose the mustard bush for a reason. Not simply because it spreads like wildfire, encompasses everything, because it's what the world fears. It makes things different. It'd be nice if everything was neat and clean. But being the mustard bush as Jesus chose is different. It changes the way the garden looks. And it forces the world to look at the plant and look at how it takes over and see really where God is. That God is at work in the most mistrusted or misunderstood people of this world. Jesus' analogy of the kingdom of God and the people of God as the mustard bush forces the people of Jesus' time and our own time to face the reality of the God we have. The God we have doesn't need us to be the cedar tree. The God we have is okay with us simply being a mustard bush. Because the kingdom of God is like God's own people, messy, scraggly at times, and spreading. But what makes the kingdom of God, what makes the mustard bush so yearned for, is that we have a God at the center of that bush. A God that offers us grace despite our unkept nature. God's kingdom isn't clean. It's not golden streets of untold riches. Excuse me. It's being a part of God's world and being a part of love in our darkest and uncertain moments. It's being loved by a God who loves us even when we don't love ourselves. When we're ashamed of reading certain books, or when we're ashamed of liking certain types of music. It's been only a couple weeks since the carnage in Orlando. And since then, there has even been more numerous deaths and struggles in our world. Especially for those who are treated as different. Who are treated as the mustard bush. But in that struggle and pain are the images of a God working in this world. Like the story of a mother of 11 children who was at the bar at the club with her gay son, supporting him. And when a gunman entered, she covered him and saved his life, losing hers in the process. God in those images. Or in the images of those at the vigil, supporting those in need. Or the images of those up in the corner who wore angel wings to cover funerals so people couldn't protest. Many times we feel broken down. In moments like these, and our pain speaks volumes. But in God's kingdom, God is alive. God's love and grace enfold in our tears, in our hugs, in our moments of silence, and in the messiness of life. God's kingdom is like the mustard bush that spreads out its love despite the threats from those around it. Just because we are mustard bush people doesn't mean we are never good enough. It doesn't mean we aren't for the world. Just because the world sees us as different, just because we are not in the clean mold of the garden rose, doesn't mean we aren't enough. Because for the God we have, we are enough. The kingdom of God isn't made out of tall, straight cedars. The kingdom of God is made out of and for the mustard bushes of this world. Amen.